Okay, let's talk about rap again. So, one thing a lot of people don't want to understand when talking about rap is that rap is actually descriptive of society, and it is not necessarily prescriptive about a society or to a society. So, yeah, as always, bring up your search engines and just type the word descriptive and prescriptive. So, descriptive is an adjective involving or characterized by description and serving the purpose to describe a word, and it is concerned with classification or a description. And to me, that is what rap is. It's a good description about society. And prescriptive, had it been prescriptive, it would have been an adjective. No, but let's look at the search engine definition first. Prescriptive is something that is relating to or making rules, laws, or directions, right? So, maybe I could relate it to religion, right? So, religion or most religions are prescriptive. They already have rules and directions that a person should follow in order to practice the religion. Okay? And then, rap, on the other hand, maybe even in the broader scheme of things, hip hop is descriptive, you know, it documents the society that uses rap as a medium of communication, that uses hip hop as a culture and or as a vessel for their culture, and it just describes the lives that the people in this society lives, but it does not prescribe how the people should live in that society, you know. So part of the reason why I want to talk about rap being descriptive is usually relating to why most people hate rap, or the type of things that people say when they usually give a reason to why they do not like rap. And usually the reason is, yo, it's violent, misogyny, blah blah blah, all these different reasons. You probably have your own reason for why you do not like rap. We all do. I even have a reason, you know, too flashy and shit like that. But rap is descriptive of the society, you know. So it's not rap that is flashy, it's not rap that is misogynistic, it's not rap that is violent. Society is what is violent, and good rappers are great at documenting what the society is like. There's consensus that Kendrick Lamar is basically one of the best rappers alive today. And if you listen to a Kendrick Lamar album, any Kendrick Lamar album, it's very descriptive of the things that we are going through as a society, from Good Kid, Mad City to Damn. He will describe all of the things that society is going through from his perspective, of course, and we can actually get quite a lot from that. Even if you look at To Pimp a Butterfly, which ended up having one of the songs that were used in the protests against police a few years ago. I think, sorry, man, America just had way too many protests because someone was shot by the police. I cannot even remember a name. Yeah, but yeah, some Kendrick Lamar's albums are descriptive of the society that we live in. And now, if you take any other rapper as well, you might even hear the same properties, or you might even pick up the same properties from listening to their albums. I think I usually initially I hated rappers like 2 Chainz. You know, she got a big booty, so I called her Big Booty. And I was like, ah, that shit is whack. I feel that shit is whack, yes. But he is describing a chorus, basically, that so many other people relate to. You know, all I want for my birthday is a big booty hoe. That is the society we live in today. Man, ask any random dude if they would like a big booty hoe for their birthday, and see what their first response is. So it's quite descriptive of the society that we live in. And a lot of people are used to certain things being prescriptive, like religion, you know. And people who practice religion religiously, vocabulary needs to pick up here, but either way, people who practice religion religiously usually expect such prescriptions from other things in life, and you won't find that in some of the best things in life that are free, hip-hop and rap being one of those. So yeah, when I say hip-hop, I mean rap interchangeably, because you know what this is. So yeah, now a lot of people with a large foundation on religion, they are expecting a lot of prescriptive measures in rap. So when they hear violence in rap, they hear it in the lens that rappers are advocating for violence. When they hear misogyny, they hear it in the lens that rappers are advocating for misogyny. And I don't see it like that. I see it in the sense that they are documenting the violence. They are documenting the misogyny. In fact, I have a belief that a good rap album is basically the closest thing to a dissertation in social studies that most of these rappers would release to the public. If you would listen to, who's a good example? If you would listen to a J. Cole album, let's take 2014 Forest Hill, where he raps from the perspective of a kid trying to make it in life and all the challenges he goes through. He even has a track documenting his losing his virginity, and how it was mainly a song written from his perspective and all the things he had to go through and prepare for this event, that he didn't even take into consideration that the other party might also be a virgin as well. And he was playing it off like he was experienced. He was faking it till he made it. And the revealing moment in the song is that the girl he was trying to sleep with was also a virgin, and she wanted him to take it slow because she, you know, she wanted him to try a little tenderness and not just go buck wild on her. So that is descriptive of the society that we are in, where sex is in a different light. And we have a few rappers that have dealt with the topic in a similar fashion. I think Little Brother has a song about late bloomers and guys who actually had sex late in their lives. And they are rapping from a college perspective, where most rap, obviously rap is hypersexual, descriptive of the society that we are living in being hypersexual. But there are still people who are losing their virginity at a later point in time. Even Saba, in his self-care album, had a song where he asked the girl out to prom and wrote her this three-page letter, and she didn't even respond. And from that point onwards, he started calling her a bitch. descriptive of the society that we live in, where guys can't take rejection well. And yeah, Self Care is a different album where he's noting all the things that he's doing wrong, Saba dropped Care For Me, and where he's trying to actually improve himself. And yeah, I think I also like, what's this, Mac Miller's album Swimming. Yeah, it had the song Self Care that I'm confusing with Saba's Care For Me. And in Mac Miller's Swimming, he is swimming in his old mental issues, and he's just trying to swim. You know, he's not trying to drown in them, he's just trying to swim. And there's a recurring line in the album, destroying and rebuilding, you know, because if you're trying to not drown in your own mental issues, you are trying to build momentum, right? And then all it takes is one event to break that momentum, and you would then have to start again, build that momentum to just stay sane. And all it takes is one event and it destroys it all. Sadly, Mac Miller, his story ended in a sad fashion, but he also gave us Circles, and he was still preparing Circles before he met his untimely end, and it was supposed to form a second part of the Swimming theme, where swimming in circles, and those lines, destroy and rebuild, come up in the album a few times. Descriptive as well of the society we are living in, where a lot of people are dealing with their mental health issues. So yeah, this is the thing with rap. A lot of people enjoy rap because it slaps, you know, a right beat with the right rhythm, everyone will dance. And a lot of people hate the other types of rap because they think it's negative, or it puts black people in a negative light, but it's just being descriptive. I watched a TED talk when the guy was talking about, it's a white guy talking about how black men dying is normal, or black men being killed is normal, or something like that. He's a preacher, he's a pastor or a preacher in a black church, and he grew up around black people his whole life, and he found it awkward and found it weird, and he was advocating that people need to denormalize the death of black men. And his first stance was doing it in rap, and he actually made example of Rick Ross losing a deal with Sprite because Rick Ross had a rape line in one of his songs, or either a rape line or a rape drug line in one of his songs, and he lost a Sprite deal. And yeah, what he's also saying is that these companies could also shift the narrative for what rappers usually talk about in their songs by disincentivizing rappers talking about these things in their songs, by not paying them for rappers to talk about these things in their songs. It's good intentions, but it assumes that rap is prescriptive. It assumes that since rappers talk about killing each other, that leads to black men killing each other, right? And it's descriptive. It's even something Kendrick covered in his "The Blacker the Berry, the Sweeter the Juice." The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And I always imagine that chorus being sung by a cop about to frisk someone or about to interrogate a black person. And yeah, you see how that annotation or the line kind of changes depending on the context. But in that song, he was like, "I'm the biggest hypocrite of 2000 whatever year that song dropped," because he talks about killing people in his songs. He's talked about someone getting killed in his songs, and it has transitioned to other versions of things like "Sing About Me" and "I'm Dying of Thirst." that are actually documents of how people who die young, living the types of lives that people live in the hood in America, and the quick life and getting shot in gang wars and stuff like that, they want to be remembered, and he's making songs for them, descriptive as well. And he says he's a hypocrite because in this whole thing, living this whole culture, he ends up killing another black man at the same time he's trying to be an advocate for black lives, you know. But as a society, and as a society that we are in, the society that we are living in, that is not what's happening. The black men are dying, and it's normal for black men to die. And rap is not a prescription for whether or not black men will die. But black and rappers are gonna stop rapping about black men killing other black men or black men killing a full stop the day that black men's death stops being a norm. That's when rappers are gonna stop rapping about it. Part of the reason why I think Jay-Z has stopped rapping about doing drugs and selling drugs and being a gangster. He's a little more detached from that life than he used to be. Like, with every year passing, he gets more and more detached from that life. And it's a good thing, right? But the issue now, it's not even an issue, it's the reality, is a lot of rappers are not detached from their lives that they grew up in, you know. Like, every time you see a rapper going to jail for gun charges, every time you see a rapper going to jail for drug possession, and okay, every time I see that, I'm like, aren't there any people around this person that are protecting him? Like, who are there to take the fall for some of this shit, you know? Like, I don't know why T.I. walks around with guns. Nigga, get a bodyguard. Like, how many times are you gonna go to jail for having a gun when you can get a bodyguard? Yes, have a gun, legally at least, if you feel like you need protection, so that you don't have to go to jail all the time, you know. But I understand that this is the life that they have grown into, that the life that they have known. 50 Cent got shot however many times. Not because he rapped about getting shot, but because that is what happens in the neighborhood he grew up in. You know, he used to perform wearing a bulletproof, not because it was a gimmick, but because that is what happened. His album was called Get Rich or Die Trying. It was not a prescriptive title, it was a descriptive title. He was trying to get rich, and he was willing to die trying. You know, so yeah, the sad reality we live in is that even if rappers started being positive and rapping about positive things, they would still be dying at the rate that they are dying now. Like, which rapper do you know who died? You know, there's a lot. Successful rappers, man, Triple X. Extinction, as they say, Nipsey Hussle, Huey, apparently the guy who made Pop It and Drop It, Pop Lock and Drop It, died recently. Like, which genre has so many of its successful artists dying violent deaths? Pop Smoke got killed. Like, why? And then now comes the drug usage, the drug overdoses, and now rappers are dying from overdoses of drugs. So even if rappers would stop talking about shooting other people, shooting other niggas, even if rappers would stop rapping about drugs, they would still be getting shot. They would still overdose because that is the society that we are living in. A black man gets shot. Oh shit, I'm happy it wasn't me. Oh, and someone gets addicted to drugs and overdoses. Oh shit, he had so much ahead of him. And the music that we're listening to is descriptive of the society that we live in. The diff, and also, I think the difference between a bad rap album, a bad rap song, and a good one is the honesty in it. Tupac's Dear Mama. How many people have played that song for their mothers? And truth be told, like, all things considered, from what is in the song, Tupac's mother was on some other shit, man. Like, I'm just taking from what Tupac said in his songs. But Tupac didn't try to shoeshine that. He just said it in the most beautiful way he could say it, on a nice beat. Mama was a crack fiend, mama. Bella Bella was a black queen, mama. I'm sorry, I'm not that much of a Tupac fan, so I can't quote the lyrics. But yeah, I believe it went something like that. And he still said, you are appreciated. He appreciates that she's brought him in this life, and he grew up to into the man he is, whether or not his upbringing was good or bad. That's another story. He was describing the relationship he had with his mom, and that was descriptive of so many other relationships that people have with their mothers in society, because not that many people are perfect. If there is anyone who's perfect, right? So yeah, for me, rap is descriptive, and a lot of people should not expect it to be prescriptive. And I think part of the reason why I cannot enjoy a lot of Christian rap is because I play it and I hear quite a lot of prescriptive things, you know, like the last and first Christian rap album I listened to and I enjoyed, I was still young, it was by Kerouan. I think Windmills of the Soul had this other song that's like, Father, don't let me be tempted, because I've been that, I'm saying, Father. Yeah, but Kerouan, and I enjoyed it because it, I don't know, I was young. I'm not gonna analyze it with the same lens that I'm analyzing all these songs now that I'm grown up. But I love that album, and now I find it hard to find a Christian rap album that I could enjoy, because yeah, I don't know what they're saying there. I enjoy 2 Chainz album more than any other Christian rap album. And I'm not even a fan of 2 Chainz. And yeah, and even Kanye. Okay, sadly, I enjoyed Kanye's Jesus is King album quite a lot. And I think him choosing to find his religion again and practice his religion again was probably a benefit from him, because, like, yeah, the shit he was talking about in his recent albums were just outlandish, and I couldn't relate with a model bleaching her asshole. I was like, hey, well, and whew, getting that on your t-shirt makes you an asshole. I couldn't relate. The beats were fire, though. The beats were fire. So, yes, I played The Life of Pablo. But I couldn't relate. So, yeah, rap is descriptive. That is what I wanted to say. That was a 24-minute rant. I could still go on. And, yeah, just to go on. And just to touch on the whole rappers are dying. Like, I think in the 90s, late 90s, Mos Def and Talib Kweli partnered with each other to make Black Star. And they had a song whose hook is 1, 2, 3, Mos Def and Talib Kweli. But somewhere in the hook it says, it's a hard time to be an MC. They shot Tupac and Biggie. hold your head when the beat drops. Why, yo? That line has so many meanings, man. Like, it's a hard time to be an MC. Yes, right, because at that time, rappers who were MCs by the definition of Move the Crowd or whatever else you consider an MC did not make that much money. And it was almost dying cause what they were trying to do, trying to be true to the op or whatever. And then they shot Tupac and Biggie. It was still true back then in the late 90s that a lot of rappers are dying from violent deaths, you know. And that was just the lives that they lived, and the lives that they lived as black men or black people, you know. And that line still applies to this day. It's still a tough time to be an MC. They shot Pop Smoke and Nipsey. Like, how more descriptive can a rapper be for them to be relevant more than 20 years later? So, yeah, all the negative rap you hear is describing some negativities in society. Yes, you can listen to more prescriptive music, but even John Legend made a song called Actions, because all these love songs are prescriptive about what love is supposed to be. But yo, if you're not going to make those actions, don't write another love song. If you do not bring the actions that tie to the fact that you do love this person. So yeah, that was me ranting for like 26 minutes about rap. And cool, I'm going to make a cup of tea.